debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
What is that? It
means we're live.
Oh, we're live.
I gotta go get a microphone.
I don't like that reverb. Burp. Burp. Burp, burp. If you can hear me. We're trying to get situated. We apologize for the delay. I can't listen to that much longer. I hear myself in the headphones and then there's some reverb on the other end. I guess it's from Bliss's computer.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Welcome to the program. Sorry we're running late. We had some things to do.
Well,
Wait, this is the wrong video.
What's that? Yeah, because we're on YouTube. And it's delayed by like 12 minutes.
Oh.
My mic seems really low.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better. Not. No, Bubba is like supposed to record a commercial, so we're waiting for him.
Yeah, we're waiting for him.
And he still hasn't recorded it, so he may like barge in here at any moment and record.
That's fine. That's fitting. That wouldn't bother me not one bit. Welcome to, what is the show called? Off the Rails with Blummel. I'm like, who am I? What am I doing? I feel like Joe Biden in this bitch. Yeah, sorry about that. I needed to eat. I was hungry. I was starving when I woke up. And I go, well, you better get unstarving, ho, because you got about 4.5 hours.
Right.
So I was determined to make it to the end. And then, I mean, to 10 a.m. end of the show.
Yeah.
So I could eat my nutritious shit. And I also wanted to try the, this is why this isn't working. I think, did I click on the wrong thing?
I hope so.
Hmm. Stand by. I'm sorry. I need to just. This is bothering me. I feel like I should be seeing. There it is. This should probably be it. There we go. Beautiful. Thank you. I really wanted to try that brookie that I made.
Oh my god. Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine.
No. It's the audio. But go ahead. You can go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I made two things last night because I am a domesticated woman. I'm a goddess. Some may have called me in the past, recent past.
Oh, really?
A domestic goddess, yes. So the plan was to make Blitz some brookies for his birthday. And if you don't know what a brookie is, it's a brownie and a cookie mix, and it's fucking great. We added what I thought. You know when you have an experience with someone, and in your mind, the experience went one way, but in their mind, it went a completely different way?
Yes.
That's how our experience was with brookies.
Okay.
Because I can't remember. I'm sure I've had a brookie in my life, like, before this last year, but I didn't remember. And you got some at Publix one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that you and I, Blummel, had an experience of it being really fucking good. Now, it could be because we also added ice cream on it.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
But in my mind, you loved brookies after that moment. And here's also why I thought that. Because when we would go to Publix, you know, subsequent times, you would always look to see if they had the brookies. You were always in hunt for the brookie.
Mm-hmm.
So I took note of that because I'm a good listener and observer and
yes.
Trying to be a good partner to you, spouse, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this motherfucker loves brookies. I'll make him some brookies.
Okay.
So I buy all the ingredients. I take time and trying to formulate what kind of brownie? Do I get the triple chocolate? Do I get the peanut butter? Do I get the fucking double deluxe dark chocolate milk?
Yeah, because they don't make brownies. They make 500 flavors of brownies.
Right. So I'm thinking, I'm like racking my little peanut head. What is he going to like? What should I do? All this sort of stuff. Then last week, if you recall, we briefly talked about Brookies on the show, and this fucker just goes, meh, not that great. What? Then I tried to, you know, instill the memory that we had of how good it was together.
Oh, the experience was awesome.
And he still was just not sold on the idea. And I'm like, hey, fucker, I just bought all the ingredients literally the day before. So I was annoyed.
And then you said, I'm not being too obvious, am I?
Right. So I was annoyed because in my mind, and this can happen anytime you're about to give a gift. You know, like when with the Tom Bean story yesterday, he's like, all this can be yours, Zoe. And she's like, I'm going to sell it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like one of those, obviously not as extreme, but you think you have this great idea in your head for a gift and the other person isn't feeling it. So at that point, you're at a juncture because you can then make the experience about them and cater to what they want. And we talked after the show and he's like, I'd prefer just a plain cookie. Or you can make the experience about you, which is usually the route I take, and go, fuck you, it's your birthday, I'm making what I wanted to make you.
Yeah, so I liked the idea of the brookie, and our experience eating the brookie was fantastic.
It was good.
Because we souped it up, or you souped it up.
I souped it up with some ice cream, which is phenomenal.
And it was awesome. But my problem with the Publix brookie was it didn't have enough cookie on the brookie. It was all... Brook.
It was all brownie, no cookie.
Yeah, it was all brook and it had like barely any
a
cookie
lot of
on top.
Not enough cookie.
Right.
So, anywho, I decided to go both routes and make Blitz his own cookie cake and also make the brookies because I was determined to make them and make them well. And let me tell you, folks, I nailed it. I fucking nailed it.
You thought you fucked it up.
I thought I fucked up. I was talking to my dad. My dad's trying to, like, he's going into this Ukraine deal, this sort of shit. He starts talking about the Holocaust. I'm like, hey, hold on. The fucking brookies are almost ready. Can't be talking about the Holocaust right now. I'm putting fucking toothpicks in the batter.
Right.
Now, if you don't know, because I'm a master baker, I've recently learned that cookie dough and brownie fudgy shit batter cook at different speeds and heats and shit. It's a science. But when you combine them together... Especially when you put the cookie on top of the brownie, you know, I'm looking in the oven. I'm like,
that don't cook at the same time.
Right. I'm looking at the cookie and I'm like, that looks maybe a little too well done because that is looking a little on the, you know, when you're golden brown and then you start getting like black brown. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's a burn. Those are burned edges. And then I stick the toothpick in and it's wet, which means it's not cooked all the way. So I'm just like, fuck. What does someone do in this case? So I just said, listen, better just a little burn than fucking wet, soppy shit on the bottom. So I let it cook a little bit more. Took it out just at the right time. Just said, you know what? Fuck it. If they eat it, they eat it. They like it. They hate it. Whatever. I'm like, how bad could it be? Even if it's undercooked, it's still like good, delicious, chocolatey batter. Can't be that bad.
Right.
And then when it cools off, obviously, it kind of hardens a bit. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but I'm amazing.
Well, you got here today and you thought the edges were burnt or cooked too much.
Yes.
And I, along with many other people, like the edges because of it being crispy. It wasn't burnt at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was like crunchy.
Yeah, it was crunchy.
Which is perfect. You don't want it burnt because burnt is gross.
Right. But then
crunchy is great.
And then with the combination of the soft, moist, fudgy brownie, it was pretty much perfect.
It really was.
It's good. And this is the confidence I need because I, you know, most people maybe learn how to cook with their families, you know, but my mom had maybe one meal she made and I hope she's not listening. It was just, it's not that it was, her cooking was bad. It's just, I didn't like the meal that much.
What was it?
It was like she would make rice, whatever, and then like not pilaf. I think it was pilaf. I don't fucking know. It wasn't like a white or a brown rice. It was multicolored with different types of fucking grains and shit. And then she would make this like beans. I'm not giving you a good description. It was like a red kidney bean with like tomato sauce. And she would mix it up and add some spices. And then you put the sauce bean stuff over the rice with the salad. And listen, it was fine. But that was like her go-to meal.
Okay.
And then dad would make dinner. But he was usually, vegetarian chicken nuggets or stuff of that nature. So that's not really like cooking. But he provided me with food. And I'm very grateful, Father. So there were no like family rest. There was some like kugel every now and again, but it was very rare. You know what that is, if you're into Jew things, which is pretty good. But so it wasn't like mom made dinner every night, and I learned grandma's fucking recipe. Mm-hmm. The only thing my grandma made on a regular basis was like spaghetti with meat sauce or brisket.
That sounds fantastic.
A vegetarian at the age of 8, so I didn't eat either of those things. So some people like bond with their family and their mom or the grandma in the kitchen. Yeah, not me. I'm like, fuck that.
Mm-mm. I did a little bit. My mom had like, a good handful of meals that she always made. Nothing like crazy. And it wasn't like scratch made stuff, but it was, like she put together.
Simple,
like,
but like reliable. Like they were always like pretty good.
Stuff like I like to make. Like, hey, look, like this item might come out of a box and this item might come out of a box, but you cook it out of the box and you kind of soup it up and you add things to it and you put 3 or 4 or 5 of those things together and you have a nice meal.
Yeah. And the way that you cook and the way that like you like to eat, it seems you don't like the meals too complex.
There's
like
no
when you add too many things together.
Depends on what it is. But yeah, there's no need for like super complex.
Because you even said during the break that you like things a little bit simpler. Like we were talking about the Baconator or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were like, too many pieces, parts.
Well, yeah, like fast food. See, here's the thing though. It's like I like salad with like a lot of stuff in it.
Right. Okay.
But like fast food stuff, it's like it's too much. And like my problem is like the calorie count is too high. Like it's nothing I could eat like even somewhat, even close
reasonably,
to me regularly.
Yeah.
So like, hey, instead of having like 10 items on this sandwich, like put 2 or 3 maybe, and do away with like half the butter and like half the cheese and one of the slabs of meat. Like we don't need, like I don't need all that.
But he did eat it all, for the record.
I had to eat it all. It's my birthday.
It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
But like I'll probably never have another one of those again.
Okay. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't grow up with any of that shit ever. So I didn't learn how to make anything, and it's like it's really fucking embarrassing. Like, can I make a confession on the show? Like,
sure.
I've never like boiled pasta before in my life.
Okay.
In my fucking 34 and a half, really pushing almost 35. Anyways, I've never like made like spaghetti before.
So in your close to 4 decades on Earth,
that's true.
Never.
I've made rice like in a rice maker. I don't even think that counts.
No,
it's not. It wasn't in a pot. It was literally like.
Well,
doop.
I mean, it's better in a rice maker. But.
Yeah, it's like moist. It's more moist. But so I never learned how to do. I never learned how to be a woman. Is what I'm saying. So now that I am someone's spouse, and I am a woman, I know Ketanji Jackson Brown or whatever can't define woman, but I can, and this is it. I'm trying to not to be in a more domestic role, but I feel like I want to be able to have basic skills in the kitchen.
Sure.
I think that's not just a skill of being a woman, but maybe an adult human being.
Correct.
That is self-sufficient and independent and can take care of themselves. So I feel like now I use heat. I think the first time I started using heat was for eggs. I was like, okay, you drop the egg in, you cook, you wait. You know what eggs look like when they're done. You don't really need to fucking, right. So that's what the eggs started. Then, you start incorporating.
And I have an egg cooker, which is funny.
Right. You have the egg cooker. And then, then I started making stuff like stir fry shit, really basic. And to be honest with you, probably stuff that nobody else would like. Me and my father eat very similarly. We eat things that probably wouldn't be in combination with one another. Just like a mix, mash, smorgasbord of just, because we're like, I'm not a vegan, my dad is, but we both were vegetarian with me growing up. My dad's just more recently been a vegan. And no, he's not the fucking obnoxious pita vegan, annoying, telling people what to eat.
Right.
He doesn't give a fuck. This is just shit that he does for himself.
You do you, he does he.
Right. He does he.
Right.
He, like, he's had multiple girlfriends over the years, and they all eat bacon and shit. Millions, some would say. And he doesn't try to convert them. Now, here's the thing, though, that I've noticed. Because me and my father are both, like, more picky eaters.
Mm-hmm.
That whoever we're around, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a spouse or a partner, but they start to eat more like us. By default.
You have to.
Right. So, like, if I'm always eating salad, then this fucker's always eating salad. Now, that's not a bad example because Blitz already likes salad right. from the get.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying. Sure. Maybe you eat more yogurt. Maybe more hummus.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
I've lived with people, and then all of a sudden, we'd look in the fridge, like, 6 months after we moved in, and I remember I lived with this Indian guy, and he's like, holy shit, I'm turning into you.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, well, you've lost about 25 pounds. Well, yeah, you look great.
You know, when two people are together, whether they're friends, roommates, whatever, spouses.
Cohabitating or spouses.
Yeah, or just hanging out. Like, obviously, the one that's more picky, like, if you're going to be nice, you have to, like, you
cater
know,
to
cater
them.
To that person, so.
Because the person who's less picky is more inclusive. It's not that they don't eat vegetables.
Right.
It's just that they may also eat meat and potatoes and shit.
Correct.
But if they don't mind eating vegetarian or more that way, it's just kind of the natural progression of things mm-hmm. that you eat like the person who's annoying, which is usually what happens. Or yeah. you just, like you said, you go to restaurants where it's more accommodating to a vegetarian. But
yeah, there's definitely restaurants that we've gone to that like I probably wouldn't go to at all.
Right, right. And I don't think that you've minded them all so much.
No.
You find things on the menu that you like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like you've... And like, you know, we've never gone to, like, a vegan restaurant.
No.
You know, because that's, like, that's a lot for me.
Yeah, and I've noticed that you seem to like to eat some sort of animal flesh with each meal, which is fine, and
usually,
I don't mind.
Usually chicken.
Yeah, but... usually chicken. And I don't, again, food to me is so personal, and mm-hmm. you got to just do what works for you. And do I care about the animals? Yeah, but, like, not that much, if I'm being honest.
Right.
Do I care? In theory, I care. In theory, I care a lot. But in practice, I fucking don't. I don't at all. You'll never see me at a fucking protest. I'll tell you that much. You never see me on that fucking river getting hit in the face with carp. That is probably the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
You wouldn't do that?
Like, not only do I find fish terrifying, but the fact that, like... with enough speed, like, I could get a concussion or break my face.
So, I gotta be honest. Like, if that was around here, I would absolutely do that.
Good for you.
I would wear a helmet.
No.
But that, like,
I'm afraid of
like
fish.
Fun.
Did I tell you that? That I'm actually, like, I have a fear of fish phobia? Did you know that about me, along with butterflies?
It's no, I did not know that.
Yes. I had a very bad experience, snorkeling, if we can even call it that, in Hawaii. $4.99 and a bitch ate one. Thank you, Chris Bergenhagen. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
My eyes are getting a little better, I guess. Maybe I don't need glasses after all. Self-corrected after 30 years.
Yeah,
amazing
it
how science works. Nature's amazing. Yeah, I'm afraid of fish. I had a bad experience in Maui, I think it was. Maui or Kauai, one of those islands.
Okay, what happened?
Went on a boat, and it was like a day-long tour, snorkel, lunches included thing. It's like a great little family vacation. I was probably in the ballpark of, I think it was right before 9/11. I want to say it was the August before, like the month before 9/11. So I must have been 14, something okay. like that. And here's the thing. I don't know if, because a lot of people have phobias and they don't really know why or where they came from. They can't really recall the first bad
sure.
experience. They just, it seems to be just something that's always lived inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not me. I remember things like this. It doesn't matter how young I was. Second grade, first grade, one day old. I remember exactly where all the trauma comes from. But it was one of those things where I didn't know I was afraid of fish until I was in the water with them. And they're big. They're big fucking fish, obviously, in the ocean. You could see. And everyone's like, oh, it's so beautiful. I'm like, this is fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really want to get in the water, but was somehow persuaded. And I dunked my head under the water with the snorkel. And I was like, I can't. I'm afraid. The fish are going to touch me. Meanwhile, all the other children are, you know, trying to touch the fish. I'm afraid the fish will touch me. I was very afraid. So they said, okay, well, if you don't want to snorkel, we have this boogie board with like a plexiglass hole in it so you could look down. I go, well, not great, but better. I'll play along. Hopefully the fish will just leave me alone and I can stare at them from a distance. Well, some fucking asshole kid on the boat, naturally would have it, had a few slices of bread and wanted to feed the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get in the water, and this asshole decides he wants to feed the fish right where I'm at, because clearly I'm struggling.
Okay.
So he's like, oh, let me feed the fish. So he would throw in the bread, and all the fish would jump up mm-hmm. to get the bread very close to me. I didn't realize that I was dealing with literally thousands of fish.
Okay.
So it was just a very dramatic scene getting me back to the boat. Where my sister, who was 9 at the time, was just a mermaid in the water having the best time.
You know, so we've talked about, like, going on the kayaks and snorkeling and stuff, and you didn't mention, like, oh, by the way, like, I'm afraid of fish.
Well, there's two things here. Number one, I'm assuming and presuming that I will stay on the kayak.
No, when I said go kayaking and snorkeling...
Oh, you didn't say snorkeling.
Oh,
you always left that out.
Oh, no.
You never said that. Trust me. Okay. I would know, because I would say, can't make it ever. You said kayaking.
You did say that.
I said kayaking. No, I didn't.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I don't snorkel. That's not going to happen. If I somehow fell into the water, I would obviously have to be okay enough to get myself back in the kayak. That's number one, that I'm assuming that I'd be in the kayak, in the safety of the kayak for most of the ride. That's, I think, the goal.
Most of the ride.
Most of the trip, whatever you call it, session, one of these. And then number two, thankfully, Tampa Bay's water just really isn't as clear as the waters.
Tampa Bay's? I love that show.
Okay, we're moving on.
You're right. It's not.
So even if there's fish around you, they're probably not as visible as they would be when you're in the crystal clear blue waters of Maui, Hawaii. Excuse me. So there's also that of just the I don't have to see it. So if I don't see it, it's not there, sort of a thing.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I do not snorkel. I do not really, despite living by an ocean basically my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like water stuff. I like pools. I like showers. I like jacuzzis. That's cool. I like what's that thing at Crunch Fitness? The hydration chair? Hydro massage?
Yeah.
I like hydro massages. Now, you don't get wet or anything, but it does include water.
I guess.
But in terms of aquatic life, not a big fan. Not a big fan. I don't like fish. I don't like urchins. I don't like crustaceans. I don't like any of that stuff. Mm-mm. No, thank you. Insects of the sea. Fish are disgusting. The way that they move, it's very seizuristic, if that's even a word. Do you know what I mean? It's very, they convulse. They don't really, I don't like that shit. Mm-mm. So if I'm getting hit in the head with carp or whatever, that's not a good time for me.
It looks like a lot of fun to me. I would absolutely do that.
Listen, as your spouse, I support you in whatever endeavors you want to do outside of, you know, cheating on me. But you do you, boo-boo.
Thank you.
Yeah, but...
You go have brunch and I'll go get hit in the head with fish.
We are doing brunch next weekend with some of the ladies.
Yeah, we meaning not me.
We meaning me.
Right, right.
Here, I explained this to Blitz a few weeks ago. He didn't quite understand. When I say me, I mean... me. When I say we, I also mean me. And then when I say you, it's actually me. Does everyone get that? Does everyone understand?
Does the class understand?
I'm kidding. Kind of. But no, yeah,
she's not kidding.
The ladies, some of the ladies of the Bubba Army will be meeting for Reagan's birthday. There will be a 2-drink maximum for no one but one person.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Reagan can drink as much as she wants. It's fine. But,
it's
you know,
party.
It's her party. She can pass out in a swivel chair if she wants to.
Right.
You ever heard that song?
The one from John from Naples that he's just made right now?
Oh, is he?
No, I don't know.
Oh, shame. No,
Dark Match Steve, maybe? I know one of them, maybe.
Yeah. That would actually be a really funny parody song.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting night, that's for sure. But yeah, so we're gonna do brunch because everybody likes a good brunch, and I think that that's a nice way to celebrate a birthday. I used to like to, I tried to do a big thing last year for my birthday, a birthday hang, if you,
you did,
will.
It was great.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, but it was like pretty exhausting.
I bet.
Yeah, and because what I realized is because I'm such an empathetic person and not a imp.
You're not an imp?
Mm-mm. It's an empath. I'm an empath. I know that Bubba's a dark imp, but I'm an empath. And
he's a dark nymph.
I always want to make sure that everybody's like having a good time.
Sure.
Especially if I dragged them out on like a hot day.
Well, because not only did you drag everybody out, it was also like for you.
Yeah, but it was for me.
But like literally nobody else could have set it up because it was for you and it was like three or four different groups of friends that you that only you knew.
Right. And it's not like people don't like to go out on a beautiful Saturday afternoon and drink.
At a cool place.
Certainly they do. But I always just want to make sure that, you know, if you came alone and you didn't know anybody or the rest of your group was late, I wanted you to feel included and not awkward. And
sure.
So even though I was getting drunk, I was trying to keep like a poll of like, how long have I talked to this group or that person? And does this person feel like I'm ignoring them? And I want to make sure that I'm spreading myself evenly with everybody and give everybody the attention. So I think that, you know, this year I might do it like I do every other year, which is, you know, either don't celebrate it or maybe go on a trip or something. So,
well I mean, we're going to celebrate.
Well, yeah, we'll celebrate, but just not maybe in a party type fashion.
Sure.
You know, I think I'm good maybe for the rest of my life with that. Now, here's the thing. Going to somebody else's party, the best.
Oh, absolutely.
The best time. I never understood, like, the Kevin Hazlett mind, where the desire to host, the desire to entertain is...
If you have the means, it's a lot more fun to be able to host. Because you can go, you know, if we had a 40 by 40 tent and could afford a band and could afford all the accoutrements to go along with it, that'd be fun. And then Kevin can just go, okay.
True. So
that makes things a lot easier.
That does make things easier. But even when he like hosts people at his home.
Yeah.
Now, here, let me do some money math for you. I think it was best described and explained by Biggie Smalls. More money, more problems, right?
Okay.
The more money you have, the more things you have to worry about. Now, no one is happier during a hurricane than poor people, because we don't have boats and really nice cars.
People that own roofing companies.
Right, or anything like that. Exactly. So we just go, oh, all right, so my Toyota Camry gets wet.
Right.
So fucking what? We don't have anything really of value to worry about. So if I were to have a very nice big home, oddly enough, I feel like I wouldn't really want to entertain that much because I'm like, I probably have a lot of cool, expensive stuff in that home, and I don't want some fucking assholes coming over and ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Kevin talks about his son coming over and bringing eight of his closest friends to spend 2 weeks at their house, I'm like, you got
to
be out of here.
They have to be heathens. They have to be heathens.
I mean, they're probably good kids because they're friends with a Hazlett.
Right, but
age they're 23.
Kids, yeah, they're part. Like they're here to party.
And they're coming from where's? I don't even know where fucking West Point is. New York. It's up. It's a shittier state. So you have all these kids come down to Florida, which is the best state. It's like, you know, party time. You got palm trees, beaches, babes, all this stuff. Of course,
it's West Point, New York.
Okay, there we go. Why the fuck would you listen? But Kevin and I think very differently. And even if you do have all of the resources to put things together, it's still like stressful because then you have to worry about the band not showing up.
Right.
Or you have to worry about the catering getting fucked up because the supply chain or whatever. The table's not showing up because, you know, hurricane. Whatever the case may be, you have to. It's still stressful just because you're able to accommodate it or pay for it doesn't mean that it's any less stressful.
Sure.
And then you don't want it to be just like a total bust where people come out and then it's like the fire fest. And then it's like, oh, well, Anna throws shitty parties. Now I got this horrible reputation.
Well, then you're like the fire fest. How do you fix that?
Right. Exactly. You don't.
You do it the one guy.
You don't. You flee and or sometimes you have to do some shit to get some water because guess what? People need to survive water.
People are thirsty.
You're thirsty for some cock. Let's take a phone call. Hello. Who's this?
Happy birthday, Blitzy.
What's up, guy? Iggy, formerly known as Caribou Lou 62.
No, it's not. None of that.
Oh, sorry.
None of that.
All right. I certainly hope, Anna,
I hope you're going to treat my boy really well this weekend for his birthday and all that, especially since he's allowing you to go out for your brunch thing with your friends.
Guys like Blitz
like to control people. I'm just fucking with it. Mm. He's a great dude. I'm glad you guys are actually hitting it off. Happy birthday, Blitzy. I ain't got shit to say.
Thank you, Lawrence. Happy.
Later, bro.
Thank you. There we go. Yeah, happy birthday. We should probably talk about that. I believe it's your birthday tomorrow.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Yeah, if I were to remember correctly, which I always do, because my memory is as good as fact. And every time Blitz tries to tell me otherwise about something, whatever, you know, everything from what side of the road that Whole Foods used to be at, I go, no. My brain remembers it a certain way, and he's like, no, you're wrong, and I'm always right. I'm always right. Mm-mm-mm. And I look it up, and I'm right, just confirmed by fact.
If you're such an expert on Whole Foods, how's that new Whole Foods?
I've never been.
What? Huh?
I'm just talking about the location of it.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you guys are from the Tampa Bay area, but Whole Foods used to be on one side of the highway, okay? And then all of a sudden, I didn't go for a few years, COVID, whatever happened. And all of a sudden, now it's on the other side of the road. And I was like, are there two now? What's going on? And so we're driving, and Blitz points out at Whole Foods, and I go, yeah, used to be, there's one on the other side of the road. He goes, nope. I go, yeah. Or at least there used to be. He goes, nope. And I was looking on Google Maps. I was all fucking confused.
By the way, you realize that, like, I did think there was a Whole Foods over there, right?
No. I thought that you thought I was crazy. But I wasn't crazy.
Well, no, you said there was one over there, and I said no. And in my mind, I'm like, actually, I think there used to be one, but it's not. I know there's not anymore.
Well,
and
he then, didn't let me. He didn't let that on. He made it seem like I was crazy.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to think. I mean, duh.
I mean, I could barely sleep that night because I'm like, am I losing it? Am I losing it? And I'm looking stupidly on, and I was kind of drunk, I think. I'm looking on Google Maps and stuff, and I'm like, it's not there. Where the fuck did it go? Turns out they relocated a mile south.
If even. Yeah. Like, maybe like a couple blocks
yeah
south.
It's literally right over, and it was so comforting to hear that in fact my memory is spot on, because I just remember, because it was one of the things where I'm always like, oh, Whole Foods, I love, like, it's just every time I see that little leaf, I'm like, mm-hmm. I love it. So then when I saw it on the other side of the road, I'm like, what the fuck? But then, you know, you start to doubt yourself. Don't doubt yourself. Or maybe you should. I mean, some of you have a horrible memory or are horrible people, and you absolutely should doubt yourself, but not me.
Yeah,
not me.
You're right.
Hello, who's this? Oh,
hey, sorry guys, I'm at work. It's Track Meet. Just quick things. Blitz, happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
No, I won't get to talk to you. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And then you got two things on the fish stories. You were talking about the fish coming out the water or whatever. There was a girl in high school with us.
Oh.
Her name was literally Trish. And then she went down one of the little rivers with her family on the vacation, and they had these fish that you guys are talking about. When she came back, she had 16 stitches under her left eye.
There you go.
So everybody thought from that day forward it would be funnier to call her Fish, and her name went from Trish to Fish for the rest of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then the other thing is you were talking about being scared of fish in the water.
Yeah.
Well, I'm scuba certified and all that crap, and I've scuba dived a lot of places. But the scariest place to scuba dive is actually in a lake. And I've swam up on a gator before. And you talk about heart racing. Oh, man, that's some sketchy stuff right there. Because, like, in my mind, a shark, you can kind of, like, maybe get away from some of the mouth because it's not all mouth. But an alligator, it's all mouth. Like, the whole face is mouth. It's
right.
Super scary. But y'all have fun. Thanks for the show.
Thank
have a
you.
Good weekend, y'all.
All right. Have a good one, Track Meet. Thanks for calling in. I actually did see a gator in the wild.
Did you?
Yeah, with you.
Do they exist?
Yes.
Oh.
And it pissed me off because I've lived in Florida almost 6 years, and people, you know, the gators, alligator, you see it all the time in the news, mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Florida gators, U of F, whatever. And I go, I've never fucking seen a gator. I mean, I've seen a gator in, you know, a zoo or something, but I'd never seen one in a lake or on the side of the road or anything like that.
In real life, basically.
In real life. And you see these stories constantly about a 7-Eleven, you know, it walks into 7-Eleven, it jumped into my pool, like whatever. So I'm like, I don't even think this is real. This is like the Loch Ness Monster. These gators aren't around at all. Never seen one. Never gonna see one. It's been 6 years. If it would have happened, it would have happened by now. And there's a little place called Amateur Works, and we walk by it frequently, and there's like a little bridge, and there's water underneath the bridge, and there's always people. Sometimes you'll see like some fish or turtle or something like that. And Blitz would always say, oh, you know, I saw alligator today, saw an alligator yesterday, and then I'd be with him and there'd be nothing. And I'd go
a couple times that happened.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, of course, because I'm here, and also they're not real, so that's fine. So a few weeks ago we were walking close to it, and I think before we even approached it, you go, I wonder if there's a gator in there. And I said, probably not, because they're not real. And then sure enough, there was a motherfucking gator in there.
Yep.
And
you were mad.
I was mad. I was actually mad because it's like I was keeping a rally going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A volley, if you will, of every, you know, day and year that I didn't see a gator. And I could at least say I'd never seen a gator in the wild before. And then not only did I see one, but I think you took pictures of me looking at it. So now there's proof.
Yeah, now you can't lie like you used to. And say,
yeah,
oh,
now I can't lie.
You've probably
which
seen 40 of them before.
Never seen a gator in real life. And there were a lot of people there and a lot of oohing and aahing. And I was a little upset. I wish I'd never seen that gator. But I did. So I guess they're real. That's cool. 813-90-BUBBA. Let's take a little break.
Perfect.
And we'll be back shortly after this. It's going to be dry going in and out, but that's so we don't get a copyright strike, okay? We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Thank you for being patient with us. As you guys know, tomorrow is Blitz's... Can we say how old you are? Guys don't care. 41.
Oh, I can't believe you told people.
I don't care.
It'll be 41, and for his birthday, he wants to go to the MacDill Airfest Tampa 2022. Is that what the official title of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I mean...
Now, much like women, a lot of women, and maybe some gay men, know like the hottest fashion trends of the upcoming year, what's new on the market. What's new on the market when it comes to military Air Force?
Oh, let me tell you.
Stuff.
Nothing.
Oh. So, may I just get something straight? You just confirm or deny. Every year, it's the same shit? Is that...
Now, they haven't had it for a few years because of, you know, chip shortages.
But it's the same thing every year. See, I thought you were going because you wanted to see, like, the newest, greatest planes, helicopters, like, new technology, shit like that.
Well, yes, you're right. That's exactly why I'm going.
Or is this the same shit they've had since 1982?
Pretty much.
Well, listen.
It's impressive, okay?
The boy loves... Can we dive into... Blitz, because I feel like on some levels you're pretty
yeah, dive into me.
Complex person in terms of your interests.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start to get hard-ons for planes?
Honestly, probably one of the first times I went to the MacDill Air Show when I was like 4 or 5.
And what was it that really captured your attention or piqued your interest?
It's amazing that this heavy piece of metal can fucking fly through the air.
Absolutely. But I'll have that thought, and then I'm like, ew, lunch. And then
ew,
I forget.
Ew, lunch?
I'm like, oh, lunch. And then I forget.
Okay.
So, like, why did you... It seems like this obviously piqued your interest for your whole life, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can have that thought and be like, wow, that's amazing that this thing can fly into space or in the air or whatever, but then I forget. But you, it seemed that, because not only do you think it's cool, but you know a lot about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even just about the physics. I don't know how much you know about the physics of it all, probably a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you also know...
I'm a big fan of the Bernoulli effect.
What's that?
The pressure under top of the wing is lower than bottom wing, so it causes lift.
Okay. So, like, you know the physics of it, but it seems like you also know the actual equipment and the mm-hmm. newest models and changes and things of that nature.
Yeah, I don't know, like, an S-ton, but I know a decent amount.
Was it just, like, one trip to the MacDill Air Force Show or whatever that really set you off for a life of aviation and fun?
Probably.
Okay. Interesting.
It probably was. My mom would take us every year.
Okay, because it's like a free local event, and you're boys, and boys like planes.
Absolutely.
And shit. Now, this obviously didn't have the same effect on your brother, it seems.
It did. Yeah, yeah.
He also likes planes and shit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's way into aviation, too. Not like I am, but he is.
Okay, so maybe it was just like a... there was like a critical period of young boy interest, and you were exposed to it, and then you both kind of just latched on the teat of planes and helicopters mm-hmm. and stuff. That's cool. I get it.
And the thing is, that's like the reason for the AirFest.
What?
So that kids can go there.
Oh, okay.
And get a love for aviation and stuff, and then they can suck you in and make you join the Air Force.
I see. Now, that almost worked on you, but it didn't.
Correct.
Because you were like, I ain't doing basic training.
Correct.
That.
Actually, it's funny. I was talking to Bubba about that this morning during a meeting.
What did you say? Or what can you divulge?
Oh, just that, like, I had friends that did different things in school, and, like, all my friends that did, like, that went into, like, either the Air Force or a military, or, like, started at Publix but stayed with it, or are, like, retiring right now.
Interesting. And how does that make you feel?
Old.
Yes. Now, I don't know about you. I imagine it's probably the same for most people, but the birthday and I would say New Year's are times of reflection. Would you say that that's like a good... Because obviously New Year's, because that's a good way to mark every year, obviously.
Yeah.
But also your birthday, because you are a year older. It's not mm-hmm. just that everybody is a year older. It's a day that's special to you, and you reflect on, because you can pretty much remember every birthday. I mean, I can pretty much remember every birthday I've had ever since I was maybe about 7 or something. Like, I would not maybe be able to recollect on my own, but if people start saying, hey, remember this happened and that happened, yes yeah, oh yeah, that's I when could, we went sure. to the water park, and that's when we went to the beach, and that's when I went
yep.
you know, and I was in Australia and got fucked up, whatever the case may be. You can pretty much remember it's a memorable time, even if it's not memorable, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because on your birthday, a lot of things happen that don't. A lot of people reach out to you that don't normally.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of remember, you kind of keep a running tally. And I know everybody does this who's listening, about who fucking wish you a happy birthday. Because that's who's going to get a message from you. You're like, oh, these are my real friends. Because I'm like, oh yeah, these are the people that actually give a fuck about me.
Yeah, so you know what I did a couple years ago is I stopped wishing people happy birthday on Facebook.
And you texted them or called them instead?
The ones that I shouldn't say ones I really cared about, because a lot of times I just didn't do it at all. But yeah, I don't know. I was like, this just seems
much
so
better
fake.
As a text.
Yeah,
it's much better. It's much more personalized, because then number one, if you're on Facebook and it says happy birthday, it gives you a very easy in to just click on this person. Oh, right. Happy birthday!
Right,
done. But then if you see that and you go, oh, let me pick up my phone, it doesn't seem like a lot of effort, and it's not, but it's marginally more than just a message on Facebook.
Correct.
And also it means more, because on Facebook you're also doing it so that other people see that mm-hmm. oh, look how great I am, I'm
exactly.
messaging this person, and what a good friend I am, and I care, and I'm getting recognition, and they're liking it. But then if you send a personal text, nobody knows except the person you've texted. You know, so you don't get the social credit for it that you would with a public post.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Now, are there people that you kind of take mental note when you are expecting a call or text from them and you don't get it? Are you disappointed? Because I know that I sure as hell am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
People that I definitely expect to hear from. And I don't.
Like close family members, perhaps?
Like, well, kind of like Mario Gonzalez.
Yeah? What about that guy?
He just gave us $4.99. Woo! Super chat.
Thank you. Love him. I'm like, Mario Lopez? Mario, I'm like, is this a famous actor that I'm missing? Thank you yes. very much. We appreciate every penny.
But yeah, there's people that I'm like, hey, like, you should say something.
Yes. I've gotten a little perturbed with friends who fucked up my birthday in that way. And they go, well, I just thought I'd call you or text you a few days later. I'm like, that's not how birthdays work, sweetheart.
Yeah, I've done that too, though.
Yeah, but not when it's like your bestest friend.
Well, right.
Your bestest friend, and they fuck it up. I'm thinking about removing my birthday from Facebook, so I don't even want to get anything at all from anybody.
Yeah.
I think it's
best. I thought about that. I almost did that like a week or two ago. I almost never use Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I just look at it for the events thing, but like I've mentioned a million times before, you guys are probably sick of me talking about it, but I've been on it off Instagram for 2 months now, and it's strange how fast you adapt to that, and mm-hmm. then you like forget that Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok are even things that people do and spend that's how they spend some of their time. And I can't tell you how much better I felt about myself.
I bet.
Because you can go on your phone and see how much time you're allotting to each app.
Mm-hmm, screen time.
Yeah, screen time. And, I mean, there were a few times where I went on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that is not, like, upwards of, I mean, an hour and a half, 2 hours of just, because it's mm-hmm. every moment that you don't have something that's occupying your mind. So, is that another $4.99 or is that the same one?
Same one.
Thank you very much again for the $4.99. But now I spend that time doing other things, maybe talking to real people on the phone. Talked to both my parents yesterday.
Oh, wow. How are they doing?
Talked to my sister this weekend. You actually met my sister.
I did, virtually.
Yes, via FaceTime.
Right.
Yes. Thoughts. And you could be as honest as you want to be. Was it what you expected? I don't talk too much about her. I haven't seen her in August. It will be 5 years that I haven't seen my sister in person.
Yes and no.
Okay.
She was so she was a little more like kind of bubbly and happier, I don't know,
than you expected. She's a bubbly person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
She's upbeat for sure. Yeah, she's upbeat.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. She's upbeat.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. I was hoping to see like some kind of fight because you always say you fight with her. I thought about starting a few. There's a few things I was gonna say, but
There were some pregnant pauses where you could have said something shitty, and you didn't. And I did too. But you know what? Cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah.
And we moved on. We had a big. Oh, sorry.
You're right over there.
Yeah, I'm like kicking something. I didn't mean to. We had some issues over the vaccine and stuff, but it seems like she's over it. She doesn't really give a fuck anymore. I don't give a fuck. COVID's over. World War III's the new hot girl. So whatever. But there were a few impasses where we would get to a juncture and we could either start fighting or just say, fuck it, let's not talk about it. And we decided to choose the more civil path.
Oh, there was even a couple times where either you or her both said like, hey, we're not going to go there.
Yeah. I mean, we've like, made every point.
Right.
You've made all the CNN talking points. I've made all the Fox News ones.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need to discuss it anymore.
And that's fine. Like that's.
And it was great. We moved on. After that, we'd go like, all right, well, we want to talk about that. And then we were just like laughing about she has a friend who's gained a significant amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed talking about that. She said, my friend, let's just call her Amanda.
Okay.
Because that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, no, she had three kids. She moved. Again, I grew up in San Diego. So she tells me about this person that, you know, moved to the Midwest. And I mean, if you go from San Diego to the Midwest, like you got issues.
How much does she weigh?
My sister said almost 3 bills. And I go,
there's no way.
No, I said, I've seen some photos where she was a little heavy. It's not 3 bills. My sister goes, oh, yeah. Finds a picture, screenshots it, sent it my way. And I went, God damn.
You're like, I'm sorry. You're right.
And that is not a phrase you hear from me often when speaking to my sister.
Right.
Or anyone for that matter. But I was like, oh, dear Lord. I said, I'm sorry that I doubted you and your ability to estimate anyone's given weight and mass. So sorry about that. Yeah, that was, and she was hiding behind her mother and 3 children, and you could still see about 5/6 of her body.
Yeah.
So they're
surrounding them.
Right. So when that's another indication that maybe you have an issue is if you're trying to cover up with other people and it's not working because you're the size of an oak tree, then maybe it's you.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is because I kind of grew up with this chick too, because it was my sister's best friend, and me and my sister are 4 years apart. So she was always around. And, she was a very like cute kid, like little blonde, skinny. Mom was enormous. Dad was enormous.
Mm.
Mom ended up getting like a bariatric surgery and lost like 200 pounds or something.
Okay.
And I remember thinking she's going to gain it all back. The bitch fucking didn't.
Oh,
like
good.
23 years later, she still kept the weight off the mom.
Oh, good.
But what happened was is she gave whatever she had to her daughter, and now her daughter is...
Oh, yeah, that's how it works.
...is a manatee.
Okay.
But she's living in like Oklahoma where there's no manatees. So she probably... maybe sticks out a little, but probably not because it's the Midwest. Yeah,
she fits in more or less.
She fits in. Yeah. Right. Oh, I don't want to make a farm animal reference, but you get where I was going with that. That was the one good thing about living in Detroit is I was a dime piece to go from like San Diego. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hot people. Santa Barbara, even hotter people, because now you're pulling like all the college kids.
Okay.
A lot of them are from LA. LA girls are fucking hot because they got money, mom skinny, they're just conscious, a lot of sorority chicks, whatever.
Well, what you really want is an LA face with an Oakland booty.
Yes, that is what you want. Is that a song lyrics?
Yes.
Which song?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, nice.
Baby Got Back.
Nice. Classic. And then I moved to a Sydney, which is hotter than all three of those combined. I didn't think that there would be a hotter city than like LA. I was wrong. Sydney, Australia has everyone is like an exotic bird. You know, it's like you might be Australian, but like you're Brazilian or you're like half Filipino or whatever. But because Sydney's like right on the water, Aussies are very, very sports oriented.
Yeah.
But here's the difference between Americans and Aussies. Americans love sports, but they don't like to play them. That's the difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? I like to watch football. But a lot of the guys I met in Australia actually played, like, they called it footy, but it was rugby. So, whatever. That's, like, the equivalent of football over there.
kind of like Australian rules football?
That's a different sport completely.
No, I know.
That sport, it looks like hell on earth.
Yeah.
That is probably the most cardio-intensive sport maybe I've ever seen in my life. Because not only can you kick the ball and throw the ball, like, there's no, you know, with, like, football, it's like, go, stop,
right.
Stop. Timeout.
It's
stop.
Like this is like soccer where they just keep going.
Keeps going. So you get tackled and then suddenly the ball comes out of the side corner. Oh, we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And they run, I think, like 10 miles a game. It's like on average. It's crazy.
Plus, but they don't wear much padding.
No, they do not. So you can tackle, do all this shit. And this is Australian rules football I'm talking about.
Right, no, I know.
And also rugby. And the guys that play rugby are absolutely beasts. Like, they're animals. A lot of them don't wear helmets. And they a lot of cauliflower ears. You can definitely tell who's a rugby player. They got a look about them. Obviously, not just the ears and the fact that they're dumb.
With CTE.
That, but also just like the stocky. Like, they got a huge barrel chest. Usually not the tallest guys.
Yep.
Thick legs.
Yeah.
You gotta have those fucking. They got these fucking thick legs. I don't know how many of you know a rugby player, but they have this body type. They're probably between 5'8" and maybe 5'11",
mm-hmm.
barrel chest, big arm, not super ripped, and that's fine, like not super ripped, but they got thick thighs, save lives. Every rugby player I've met has that body type. It's just mm-hmm. it's just the way that it is. But the difference between Americans and Aussies, and I lived there for a decent enough time to kind of get a feel for the culture. I was there for 13 months, you know. It's not like I was there for 4 days and be like, I know what. No, I lived there. I worked there. I had Aussie friends. But the Aussies there, it seems like they put more of a premium on playing sports in addition to watching them.
Okay.
But especially, but any like port city, any city by the water is going to be a bit more, you know, they're going to be a bit more body conscious. There's a lot of vegan, gluten-free shit. You're going to see stuff like that. That's why I've said this before. This is why I love living in a red state in a blue city. Or a blue city in a red state, rather.
There you go.
Because you get the freedom, but then also I get my fucking tofu. And I like my tofu and
right.
my kale
right.
and shit. That you may not gross. Find in a red city in a red state.
Gross.
But you will find in a red state in a blue city, which is nice. So I get the best of both worlds. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was rarely a time when I was in Australia that I saw like a really fat Aussie person. Apparently they do exist. They are called like bogans, which is the equivalent of like a hick, a hillbilly.
Okay.
And I think you got to go a little inland, you know. It's strange because like Australia and America are probably comparable in terms of geographical size. America's a bit bigger, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But the population differences are just massive. There's 330 million Americans, and there's like 32 million Aussies.
Well, isn't like 3/4 of Australia like uninhabitable?
Completely.
Yeah.
Nobody lives there except, oddly enough, right in the center. Right in the center is a shithole, but there's a cool like mountain that I'm not quite sure if it was man-made. I don't think it was, but it's like a burial site for like Aboriginal people.
Okay,
it's called
yeah.
Alice Springs.
You're right.
And someone tried to convince me to go see it, and I said, no.
Yeah, so
no,
Outback
not.
Steakhouse has Alice Springs chicken and a few Alice Springs. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know. I obviously don't go to a steakhouse very often, so.
Right.
I wouldn't know, but I remember at the end of my stay, I had the option to go travel around the country of Australia. Probably would have made it about 3 weeks with the money that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to Asia where they don't really care about people's well-being.
Right.
And I could make that money last 3 months. Ooh, Mario Gonzalez, 1999. I love you too. And I won on Gonzaga losing. Gorgonzola, which is a college.
Yes. Also, Stop and Go Steve for $5. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, so I said, oh, I could go to a desert and see some, no offense, shitty burial grounds. Mm-hmm. Or I can get fucked up for 3 months and get watch ping pong shows and, go tubing down a river blacked out. I think I'm going to choose the latter. And I lasted 3 months, a little over 3 months. So that was definitely the better move. I would have liked to see, like, part of Queensland. I would have liked to see the Gold Coast. That would have been cool. I would have liked to see the Great Barrier Reef, obviously from a distance, not going too...
Do you want to snorkel on there?
No, no, it's dangerous. There's too much coral. I'd hurt myself and sharks and shit.
How do you feel about fish tanks?
Fine, as long as it doesn't break on me, you know? Yeah, you can go... Listen, if you want to see fish, these are the two places you go. And obviously not in the ocean. I'm talking about other places. You go to the aquarium.
In the meat market.
Or you go to the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
That's where you go. Oddly enough, but in the aquarium, it's not made to order. You can't go, I want to eat that one.
You can say that, but...
But no, there's no chef. But in the Chinese restaurant...
Also no chef.
No chef?
Yeah, there's no chef there.
They will just reach down and just, you know, rip its head off or something. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. Zero. At all. I don't want to... Maybe I should stay away from this. Nah, fuck it. It seems like in a lot of Asian cultures, there's really nothing that's off limits when it comes to animals, what you can eat and how you can treat them.
Oh, yeah.
It seems that... And, you know, although it was... ended up being a fake news story, which is fine. I'm all about a good cover story that, you know, didn't cover so well, which was the wet market theory. Remember that? The bat to the pangolin. The bat to the pangolin and the person. No, it went pangolin to the bat, right? Or how did it go? Bat to the pangolin. Whatever. Who fucking knows or cares? But that people were eating bat soup and they contracted COVID-19 and that's how it all fucking started.
Mm-hmm.
It was the bat to the pangolin to the rat to the... Who cares?
Right.
To the monkey. I don't know. But those markets do exist. Like that's
absolutely
not, and then that's why it was such a great, I mean, great in theory cover. That's what they, why they thought it would be a good cover is because they're like, listen, we got a lot of shit. There's fucking chicken shitting on lizards and turtles and fucking everything. There's no limit. And it's one of those things where you don't want to say bad things. Cause when you start criticizing certain cultures, and that's really what I'm doing. I'm not really criticizing a Chinese person or anything, but it's okay to criticize a culture. We can criticize the American culture. People criticize the American culture all the time and about, you know, American imperialism or just the attitudes of being an American or whatever the case may be, economic practices, what have you. But as soon as you criticize another culture, you're like racist or something, which is fucking ridiculous.
Right.
Okay. Because there's plenty of people you could say who are Asian and they're vegan or whatever. You know, it just doesn't determine, but the standard cultural practices in much of Asia.
You're not making fun of, you're having a discussion about.
No, we're having a discussion about, right.
Yeah.
So many of the standard practices in Asian cultures, Chinese, Japanese, it seems like there is much of a disregard for animal life and how you treat animals. You don't really see... Again, there are probably other cultures that I'm just unaware of, but, you know, when it comes to eating things like live, like you don't even kill them and they're squirming on the plate and then you eat them and they die as you're digesting them. That everything that I've seen from like, what's that guy, Zimmerman? He was like on a
Andrew
show.
Andrew Zimmerman?
Yeah. Like all, and Bourdain and shit. Whenever I'd watch
or
those
Anthony
shows.
Bourdain.
Yeah. Anthony Bourdain, Andrew Zimmerman.
Yeah.
When you watch them, it seemed like whenever they were doing some real crazy shit, they were, you know, in the East, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I have noticed that seems to be a theme of, you know, a disregard. Like, animals are food to them and that they're not like sentient beings. They're not treated like sentient beings over there, it seems.
Yeah. And some places are weird, too, because they'll treat an animal, like, with a ton of respect and then, like, kill it and eat it right away.
Yeah, and there's also this, obviously people are aware of the, what's the word? Not deity. There's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not respect, but, I think it starts with an R. Whatever. They worship cows in India, right? And cows are sacred animals.
Yes.
But I remember reading Gandhi, and he's saying there's no place in the world that mistreats cows more than India. And I went, huh, what? what do you mean? I thought they were like gods. They like represented, you know, Supriyanka or whatever, you know, the god of fertility or something like that. But what they do is because they can't, this is how people always find a loophole with shit. And I love that. And it's not just Indians or, you know, it's Americans. It's everybody. It's like, oh, you can't do this, so you do it like this. You can't kill the cows because you can't. No one eats beef over there. Or at least most people don't. I'm sure there's some that do.
Right.
But you just got to keep the cow alive. And if you want to, like, sell the cow and make it seem like it's healthier than it is, they fucking pump those guys full of air, I've seen.
Oh, nice.
Like, they do a lot of horrific things to these cows because, you know, they can't kill them, but they're valuable. So how do you kind of make it seem like they are of better quality than they actually are? Well, you want to make your... No one wants a skinny, scrawny cow, so they, like, pump them... Well, right, but sometimes they just pump them full of air. Like, they do, like, horrific things to these cows. That was one example I remember. I can't really remember any others. But because they can't kill them, they just, like, let them starve to death a lot of the time. Like, it's really, really sad. And it seems like you can't really touch them. Like, I've seen videos. I've never been to India, but you just see videos of, you know, cows just kind of wandering the streets like a stray cat, and they can't really do shit about it. So it's interesting. But it's what I've noticed is, like, there's no like sense of dietary restrictions, it seems like, in Asian cultures as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see in, like, Islamic cultures and in Muslim cultures that there's things that are considered halal, which is, like, essentially kosher. There's dietary restrictions.
Yep.
Jews have things that they can and can't eat. And even Americans, to a large degree, even though there's nothing religiously tying you down to eat something, there are just certain things that you cannot eat, either A, because it's a crime, or B, because it's just like culturally taboo. So, for example, you know, I don't think you're legally allowed to eat a dog in America.
No.
Right. But then there's things that are legal that people just find to be... Can you eat a horse?
I don't know if you are legally allowed to or not. I know that, like, some people do.
Cuban culture, I think it was, like, Terrado or something. My Cuban boss, my ex-boss, used to tell me about
this. I bought
some
fireworks from a guy, like, years ago.
Yeah.
And he was... As I was leaving, he was like, hey... He's like, if you ever need any exotic meats, he's like, I sell the best horse and snake. And he named, like, five things. I'm like, thanks, dude. See ya.
Yeah. Snakes you can eat, but no one does, or very few people do.
Yeah.
Right. Even things that just slightly vary from normal, but you would think, why would you have an issue with this? I think you even told me there was a meal that Bubba ate accidentally that had duck.
Right.
And it freaked him out. He said it tasted good, but once he realized it was duck, in his mind, he goes, that's not food.
Right. He was like, this is good. And we said, oh, it's duck. And he spit it out and was like, oh, I can't eat this.
Right. Knowing that it was duck, because in his mind, chicken is a food. Cow is a food. Pig is food.
Right.
But a duck, even though it's a bird, is not food.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So it's funny how these things, even if they're just shifted just a tiny bit, are considered culturally unacceptable. Not to everybody, but, you know, the vast majority of people.
And it wasn't a tasting, because he thought it was good until he knew what it was.
Until he knew what it was. Yeah. I don't know how we got there, but food, this, that, the other. I am excited for the AirFest show. I'm excited to, you know, and it would not be something that I would go to on my own by any means.
Me
but,
either.
Like...
Huh?
Better be. But the thing that I've said to you, and the thing that I've, like, prided myself on, is I'll always try something new.
Sure.
Unless it's, like, the fucking carp deal, getting hit in the face.
No,
like, no.
Of course.
But, you know, going to Bubba's racetrack or something, not anything I would ever be interested in, but I'm glad I went.
And I wouldn't knowingly take you to something like that I knew you absolutely wouldn't like. Like,
no, I'll,
like,
be walking around.
Yeah, like,
and
the weather's going to be beautiful. Like, yes. That's going to really help.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm always down to try new things. Even if I don't go again, it's never that it's, like, a bad experience. It's just something that I'm like, okay, I've done it. I don't need to do it again. I think I'm good. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited. I like spending time and doing things for other people's birthdays.
Yeah.
My own is stressful, because then I'm like, I want it to be good. Do I plan? Do I let someone else plan? Do I go somewhere? Do I not?
And I mean, whatever. But, like, I would be going to this air show, whether it's this weekend, next week. It just happened to be on my birthday.
Yeah.
So
we're going. And then maybe we'll... And then because we've been talking about Chinese people and Chinese food and stuff, we may go get some Chinese food tomorrow.
We might.
Okay. We'll see how we go.
If we don't tomorrow, we definitely will, like, very soon.
Okay. Deal. Guys, that is probably all the time we have for today. Yep. Thank you, the 212 people that...
I gotta go to the air show.
...that stayed with us this whole time. He's gotta go to the air show. I gotta go... I gotta just go do some shit. Gotta get ready for this weekend. Do some laundry.
I do, too.
Do all the things stuff. Yeah. Just tying up loose ends and whatnot. Yep. I hope you have a great weekend. We will see you Monday morning for the main show on Twitch. And
Flapping Gaps comes out in 10 minutes.
Flapping Gaps comes out in 10 minutes, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye.
See you.